I did.
Oh.
Well, I usually do. Okay, so. In the Word, last time we talked about industrial study and the method of doing that. And so I'm gonna, by way of review, I'm actually doing today's study using the industrial method.
Kindergarten graduation Tuesday night. I say I graduated from kindergarten.
each one got up there and share about what the Lord has done in their life and the influence that different people have had, and they gave their favorite verses, and then the class had a verse, and the Lord just spoke to me incredibly out of the verse that the class had, but it was 2 Samuel 22:33, and it says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. And so that was the verse that I started out with again, 2 Samuel 22:33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. So I had written my verse down here in my section on the verse, and then I broke it down into the words that stuck out to me. And first it started right out of that God. And so I think I told you last time, I like Blue Letter Bible. I think it's an incredible tool. So I went on Blue Letter Bible and I highlighted in the concordance each of the words that stand out to me in that verse. And the first one was God, so I went and looked that up. And this God here, this word for God, is the mighty one. The one true God. So, as we know, there are many gods in this world, but we serve the one true God, and this God, the one true God, the mighty one, is my strength. And so I then highlighted the word is. It's a fact. There's no other way around it. This God is my strength. It's personal because the word my is there. It's for me. This mighty one is my personal strength. And when I looked up the word strength, this word for strength is a place of safety. He is my place of safety. He is my refuge. And a refuge is a place that you can go to be sheltered from a storm. So this very personal God who is mighty shelters us from the storms of life that come our way. He is our stronghold. If the wind and torrents are coming in at us, and we know they do, it can be coming on a daily basis. It can be coming several times in the day. Those waves can be coming at us. He's our stronghold. We can hold on to him. He is the mighty one. He's our harbor. If you think about, you know, if you like the ocean or whatever, you think about those boats coming in, they come in and they are secure in that harbor. From the waves, from whatever's coming at them. So God is this place of safety for us. Even though the word says strength, it can mean so much more than just strength. Because then you look at the word power. It says God is my strength and power. The word power is more along the lines of strength. He is our efficiency. He can handle anything in our life. He is strong. And also, this word for power has a military connotation behind it. Speaking of army and just that military force, he is, when you think of military, they are strong. They can come against the enemy that wants to come against you. God is that military force. To withstand the enemy's tactics, the enemy's devices, and ability, and he is able, that word power. And then I highlighted the word he. It says that he maketh my way perfect. He again goes back to the word God, the mighty one, the one true God. He maketh. So it's God who does it. I don't have to do any of this in my own effort. And so many times I try to work things out in myself, my own way, to set my path this way, or I think I should be doing this, or I think I should be doing that, and I set out on my way, and how many times do I fail when I set out on my own way? But he maketh my way perfect. And the word maketh, you know, we can make things, you can make a cake, you can make a car, you can make anything. But when it's God who maketh things, this word for maketh is he can start things up in our life. Maybe he wants to do a new work in our life. He can shake us. Sometimes we get in a rut or in a routine, and he needs to shake things up. He wants to do something a little different. Perhaps you get complacent or comfortable in the path that we're on, and he needs to shake us up sometimes. This word make it also means shake up. Sometimes it's break up. Maybe he did a work in the past or he taught you something in the past, but you just let it sit. Sometimes, you know, we plant seeds in the early spring. Sometimes in the fall, we put balls in the ground. But it takes some time for those seeds to just sit. And then when the warmth comes, when the water comes, those seeds will start to spring up. And so the word maketh also means to spring up. So something that's been planted in our hearts in the past is just waiting. And it's going to take the right timing, the Holy Spirit's nudging, and that work is going to spring up. But it's Him who does it, and His timing. He makes it happen. The word can also mean to loose or to undo, to be free. Sometimes we're bound in something. Sometimes they're good things, you know, but we're bound in them. It has to be this way or this way. But maybe He wants to loosen us from that and wants to do something in a different way. And then there are those things that we're bound to that are sin that He just wants to release us from. We have bondages in our life. We have chains that bind us, things that don't belong in our life that He wants to loose. He wants to shake us from, and just allow us to release. And so, and again, as His working in our lives, He's going to pinpoint it, and He's going to do that work too. Remove those things. And then it says, He maketh my way. And so the word way here is a road, our journey. It can be our direction. Sometimes we're heading in this direction, but the Lord wants to turn us in the completely opposite direction. You know, if you had asked us, we're coming upon a year when Fred started here. He started in August. August 2nd was his first full-time Sunday here. And if you had asked us a year and a half ago what our direction was, we never would have said Elmira and down here. But God wanted to turn our direction. He makes our way perfect, and He guides and directs. It also, ways can be habits. We have certain habits that we form. Some can be good, some can be bad. But we want His habits in our life, His way. If we have habits in our life, we want them to be godly habits. We want them to be habits that draw us to Him. So our course of life, they can also talk about our character this way. We want our character to be godly character that is looking more and more like Jesus. And then, so He guides us on His way, He leads us on His way, and His way is perfect. If we're on the way that He has for us, it's complete, it's whole, it's sound. How many times do we go our own way, and the fears come in, panic, anxiety, the headaches, all that goes with it when we take our own path. But when we're on His way and it's perfect, it's sound. There's no fear in that. It's innocent because He's a holy, blameless God. You know, so if we're in His way, we don't have to worry about any guilt or shame coming our way because we're doing what's right and holy. It's having integrity. Don't you want people to look at your life and say, that's a woman of integrity? You know, what she does, what she says, her character, integrity's written all over her. This way is perfect. And it's entirely in accord with truth and fact. What does God's word say? That's the way is perfect. God's word says go this way. God's word says do this. God's word says follow my command. That's perfect. When we stray from that, that's when trouble comes into our lives. So that's the interpretation. Of course, I've added some application in there. But then I look, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, what does this mean personally for me? You know, I am many things to many people. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a sister. I'm a friend. I'm a daughter. I'm a teacher. teacher. I've recently become a pastor's wife. I'm a counselor. The list could go on and on and on. Think about, what are you? You know, you are, just like me, many things to many people. And I need God to be my strength, to be that person He wants me to be. I need Him to be my place of safety that I can run to for help and guidance, because I don't know how to be all these people to all these people, you know. I don't know how to be this person to all these people, you know. If I want to be a godly wife, if I want to be a godly mother, if I want to be a godly counselor, if I want to be a godly teacher to my children, if I want to be a godly friend, I need His help. I need His guidance. I want to be on His path. And when I don't know how to do it, I want to run to Him. I don't want to run anywhere else to seek wisdom, to seek guidance, but for Him alone. And I want Him to be the force, the power that moves me. And at that point, when He brought that word force into my mind, He brought another scripture. And that's Acts 17:28, and it says, "In Him I live, move, and have my being." And so from there, we're going to walk into that scripture in a minute. But again, as I was looking at application, and I look at the word make is there, I need God to shake things up in my life, because I don't want to become stagnant. I don't want to just do things because I'm a robot and this is the way I've always done it, and this is how it's going to be because I'm comfortable in that. I need Him to shake things up, because I have changed my way. My way leads to destruction, you know. But I want His way. I want His death. It's perfect. And it brings peace. And then I finish with a prayer. I like to finish with a prayer and the application. You know, Lord, please place me on Your path, which is sound and according to truth. And my path be one of integrity. But as I said, and many times since you do this, the word's going to bring you to other verses. And so, like I said, when I was looking at the word power there, and He brought to mind that I want Him to be the force that moves me. He brought me to Acts 17:28, so that's what we're going to look at next. I looked at the very first portion of that verse, and it says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." And so, in this process, that's exactly what I did. I wrote the verse down in the first column, and the second column under the observation, I broke it down. And this one, I did look at every word. In Him we live, move, have, be. The word "in" is denoting a position. We are in Christ. We are with Christ. He is with us. This walk we have is by Him and through Him. So that little tiny two-letter word "in" means a whole lot here. We're positioned in Him. And this word "Him" is that same Him that we looked at in Samuel. This is the one true God. We are in Him because of Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. And it says the word "we." And this is those who seek the Lord. If you're looking at the context around this verse, Paul is talking to a whole bunch of people who have many gods, and they have a sign that says, "This is to the unknown God." And Paul is saying to them, "I can tell you who this unknown God is. This is the one true God. And we who know Him, you should be seeking after this one true God, because in Him we live and move and have our being." And so this "we" is those who seek after the Lord, and we as believers seek after the Lord and His way in our life. It says we live, and this "live" is we breathe. Every breath that we take is in Him. We have our true life in Him, and it's a life that's worthy of Him, worthy of His name. It's an active life. It's a blessed life. And it's endless in the kingdom of God. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, eternal life begins at that moment. Fred will say many times, we're living in eternity now because we have been given the gift of eternal life. life the minute we accept Him as our Savior. Yes, this physical body, this flesh body may die, but our life in Christ is never going to be taken away. So we live in Him. This life also refers to living water. Remember, Jesus says, I can give you living water. You'll never thirst again. This is that same word for that. It's vital. There's power in it. It's fresh. It's strong. Again, the word efficient came up when I looked at this list. Jesus is our efficiency. He's our sufficiency. He has everything we need to live this life. And again, it's a powerful life. Then I looked at the word move, and this means to set in motion. He's the one who guides us and says, go this way, go that way, do this, say that. He sets it all in motion and guides and directs. He causes us to go is another meaning for that word move. He's going to say, here's the perfect way, walk in this way. He's going to cause us to go that way. And the word have here is that we are. In Him, we have our being. We are saved. We have eternal life. We don't need to question that stuff. There's a surety in this word have. And we have our being, which is the word to be. We are in Him. We live in Him. We move in Him. Everything we do should be about Him, to glorify Him, to please Him. My favorite testimony in the whole Bible is Enoch. Because he was translated or taken up into heaven. And you know why God says he was? Because he pleased God. Don't you want that to be your testimony? I want that to be my testimony. You know, she pleased me. I think that's incredible. You know, I love that about him. So that's the interpretation I just went through. I looked and I said, what do all these words mean? And that's what they meant. And then you go into the application part and then I throw that in there. I get ahead of myself. But so what does this particular verse, for in him we live and move and have our being, mean personally to me? It means that I want to be positioned in the one true God. Everything that I do is for his glory. Every breath, every step, every action, everything about me, I want to be set in motion by him. I don't want to do any of that apart from him. So when I wake up in the morning, I want to say, okay, Lord, this is your day. I want to live, move, and have my being in you today. I don't want to do it in my own strength. I don't want to do it outside of your will for me today. So what do you have in my day for me today? I want to walk in that. And he has everything we need because it's in him for life. We live in him. And it's our physical life. You know, a lot of us have health issues, back issues, many other kinds of issues. Our physical life is lived in him. He allows, he directs everything in the physical for us. And also, we live and move and have our being in the spiritual realm as well in him. And he guides and directs all of that. And we have to remember that we are in the spiritual man, you know, and but we want to be directed by him in that. Our emotional lives as well. We live and move and have our being, you know, even our emotions, you know, we want to have directed by him because we can walk in fear, we can, you know, walk in depression, we can walk in many different things, but we want to be walking in his ways. And so I have to ask myself, who leads me? Who sets my day in motion? And again, Lord, this day is yours, have your way. And then I ask myself, okay, if I am in him, if I live, if I move, if I have my being in him, really, who am I? You know, who am I in Christ? And so if you'd like me to, Galatians 2:20. some blessing and gave him some warning. But that's when I tore it apart, and I didn't realize I did this until later. As I took him in to my Bible, I was tearing this verse apart and King James. And so the words that I was looking at are a little different. They mean the same thing, though, but I think they were, as I look at the observation, that are a little different, because it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ is in me. And this life that I now live is by faith in the Son of God. So I looked first at the statement, I am crucified, or I have been crucified. And that is to be crucified alone. So again, very personal. This is me and Jesus in my personal walk with him. I'm crucified with him. And it means to put to death. And obviously, not physically, but it's putting to death self. Putting to death that sinful nature that we all have. Christ deals with my personal sin as an individual. And then it says, I am crucified with Christ. And next is the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus. And it's with him. It's together with him. He's gone before us, isn't it? And in the New King James, it says now, it is no longer I who live. In the King James, it says, nevertheless. And I looked at the word nevertheless. And that means moreover, but, still, or yet. So, moreover, even though I still have this physical life, even though I've been crucified with him, even though this sin has been put to death, I still live, and so that we still have to walk in these physical bodies, right? But it's no longer I who live. Yes, we still have these physical bodies, these flesh, we're still living, but we don't have to walk in those old ways anymore because we're with Christ now. It's no longer this sinful man living, but it's Christ living with us. It says, I live. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. And so again, this live goes back to that live that we looked at in the very first, or I'm sorry, in Acts, that word live, it's that breath. It's how we move. I live, I move, I have my being in him. Because he's put to death sin. Opposed to God, but he lives within us. having faith, which is our conviction, that what we believe is true, that we stand, that we believe on God's promise, we believe this word is true, the inspired word of God, that every bit of it is true, that it cannot change, that God cannot lie, that He is holy, and He has planned for us. We have to stand on that, and we walk in that, we live by faith in that. And the Son of Man, God's only Son, our pattern, our model for this life, the one who we follow after. Remember, He said, deny yourself, follow after me. You want to follow after Him, you want to learn of Him. We have to put our faith in Him. He's the Son of God, the Trinity, who works in our lives, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's this word, God, here. And He loved us. He loves us dearly. He welcomes us to come to Him. And, you know, we all know the verse that says that He demonstrated us His love towards us while we were still sinners. Even though we have this fleshly body, He welcomes us to Him. He died on the cross for us. He loves us so dearly. That He gave Himself for us. That word gave is to deliver up, to give over, to commit, to allow. He allowed His body to be broken, to be pierced for us. He presented it. You know, He gave up the ghost. Nobody took it from Him. He presented Himself to us. He was committed to this path because you remember that word, it says, Your will, let this cup pass from me, but yet not my will, but Your will be done. You know, he was committed to this plan. And it says, for me, and this word for is in behalf of. He did all this on our behalf, for the sake of. Yeah. that's what was moving, you know, she enjoyed it. We went down to her house that evening, and the next morning she got up and she said, yeah, it was good, but I'm not going back. Crushed, you know, because I really felt that the Lord was going to do something this weekend, which he had already begun, and that shouldn't be good enough for me. That is his work at the beginning. You know, we could see things happening, but I was crushed one day to retreat, and there was this whole table of people who had been praying through this. Like, where is she? I was like, God, come back. And I just, the blessing was broken. And they all just grabbed my hand. They all sat around the table and they prayed. And there was a long break in the afternoon, a couple hours. So I went back and I was like, okay, I felt the Lord today. Invited her again. Asked again. I'm like, yeah, Lord. Okay. So I went to her and I was getting ready to leave and I said, okay, will you come? And I'm going back, or maybe Dad can bring in shoes. You know, I knew my dad had planned this dinner, and I said, well, I wasn't going to tell you, because I was going to surprise you. I was going to come back, and I was like, you know, so she said, but let me ask Dad, and thinking that he was going to be excited because he had planned this dinner and stuff, she went to him and said, you know, will you allow, I want to go back tonight, will you, take me there later. He goes, I need to go with Karen. That way I don't have to take care of her. So, you know, God had already prepared in that perfect way ahead of time, right? And so, we went back and Rosemary gets up there to do the message for the evening, and she's fiddling with her computer and she's looking all over the place. She's like, oh, that's what I get for fresh baked bread, right? The Lord had completely changed her message that afternoon, and the message was completely on forgiveness, and I believe it was exactly for my mother that he changed it, you know, and she did end up getting saved that evening, and so it wasn't for a couple of days that we realized exactly what had happened, but the circumstances that God does for one individual was incredible, but you know, I took her home that evening. I went back on Sunday for the final message and the communion service that they had. My mom didn't go. But I left from there to go home. And, you know, so she was down at her house and I was leaving. And so I remember driving back. And, of course, I had my expectations for what was going to take place that weekend. Hoping my mom would be touched and this and that. And as I was driving home, I remember praying and, you know, thanking the Lord for the weekend and all that he had done. And I remember saying to him, you know, Lord, thank you for meeting my mother's expectations. And, you know, because she was pretty blown away by meeting people who had been praying for her, and they all came up to her so glad to meet you, praying for you. And she was touched by the fact that people who didn't even know her were praying for her. And, you know, getting to meet Rosemary and different aspects of the weekend. And I remember so clearly saying to me, yes, I met your mother's expectations, but what did I do for you? And I remember, I'm driving, barely being able to see, and brokenness as he tells me, like it was, I shattered yours. I shattered what you thought I could do this weekend. He saved my mother, you know? And this verse, so incredible to me, because he can do exceeding, that's surpassing, abundantly. Something is abundant, there's more than you need. Above, higher than me, can you see? All. Oh. So everything, all, that we can ask. We don't even think to ask.
And how about Rosemary?
Yeah.
Were you going to go on to...
Well, I wasn't, but I
oh.
Can. So we can go above. Even what we can think, you know, I was thinking, Lord, it would be good if I could get my mother first, so she could just hear this a different way, you know. But God has exceedingly abundantly above what I could even ask or think for this weekend. And I didn't even think about the other dynamics that were taking place, because, yes, there was a side of the story that we didn't even know was taking place. the Tuesday after this retreat, whether Bible study. In my mind, it's hot. Or maybe it was a week away from that, because we had spoken on that Monday after. She was like, no, I don't know what happened to me, but I feel different. Something happened, and it's lasting. You know, it's like, Susan, and I said, well, Mom, I can tell you exactly what happened. Now, don't be thrown off by this term, but you were born again this weekend. You knew all about Jesus before, but you met him, you know, on his retreat, and he is now your Savior. And we went through some scriptures that talked about it, because she had confessed on our way home that Saturday evening that, you know, about Jesus, and I knew that she was confessing him as her Lord at that moment, and that there had been a change that had taken place. So, you know, I just was verbalizing, putting words to what had taken place for her. And she had written this letter of faith to the King's Daughter Bible Study, that's what they call it over at Finger Lakes, and expressing her gratitude for people who didn't know her, praying for her, and for the messages, and, you know, just the retreat. And she laid out, incredibly, I am born again. I accepted what Jesus did on the cross. I mean, it was an incredible letter. I brought it in and I gave it to the woman who facilitated the Bible study at that time. You know, she opened up the announcements and everything, and she's reading it, and she's like, wait, you would think that I could share this with all the ladies? I'm like, sure. You know, I had never read the whole letter. So she gets up there and she's reading it. I'm sobbing as she's reading it, and Rosemary's singing the French. She turns around and she looks at me, and her jaw is like on the floor. And she, in her message, got up and she said, you know, before this retreat, she said, I was discouraged. She said, I'm saying, Lord, why is that? You know, nobody gets any better. Or, you know, nobody appreciates them, nobody, you know, she has just become discouraged. I don't know, you know, she said, Lord, this is the last one. We're not going to do these anymore because it's just not worth it. It's so much work. And, you know, she was just broken in that, you know, just not wanting to do it anymore. And she said, so I got on my knees and I said, Lord, one soul. She goes, and then I'll know these are worth it. You know, would you give me one soul at this retreat? She goes, and of course at that point now, I'm really weeping because that one soul was my mother's. And Rosemary, as she's praying this stuff, and in this brokenness, had no idea that how the Lord was even going to answer that, you know? And so she's listening to this letter, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, well, you know, but exceedingly, abundantly, I couldn't think that. Rosemary couldn't think that, because she was ready to give up on these things, you know, doing that, you know, because you put the effort in, and nobody shows up for you, you know, or whatever. And so, but exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think or imagine. And what do we need to remember? That God is my strength and power. His way is perfect. He makes it that way perfect. You know? In Him, we live, move, and have our being. We don't want to be outside of that, because if we are, we must think that. But if we're in His way, that brings life. It brings life abundantly. And it goes beyond what we can achieve. So, I just encourage you over the next couple months as we take God to use this as a tool, you know, to break scriptures down, because as you can see, He put me on a path that I couldn't even have thought of or imagined, you know, as I went from, I'm looking at this one scripture, and He brought me to a completely different place, a completely different book, by His way, His perfect path. So, I know that He will do the same thing for you. So, just because we're taking the summer off, don't take the summer off from the Word. Be in it, you know, thirst after, hunger after it. And He's going to meet you, and He's going to guide you through. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word, Lord. We thank you that it is everything we need, that it shows us that perfect way that we can rocking, Lord, and it sounds and it shakes us up, Lord, but it, in a good way, Lord, that we would be on the path that you would have us to be on, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Make us more like you, Lord, as we go into this summer, Lord, as we already spoke about, Lord. Help us not to take it out from you, Lord, but to go even deeper and deeper into your word, Lord, learning more about you and your ways and who you would have us to be. We love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.